Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Sexton Blog Talk Radio Show on every evening, either 8 or 10 or 11 or 10:30, or sometimes it's 6:30. It's on the button, and we are a show which aims to get the facts and the truth as much as possible. We engage in critical thinking, not in phony idolatry and, frankly, media lies. I'm going to give you the topic of tonight. I have an MDiv from Princeton Seminary. I have a religious background, and I do adhere to the Christian faith fully. But before I get into that, I'm going to tell you what we're going to talk about tonight. It's a topic that the church does not talk about too much, unless you want to hear the good news of how things are great and everybody's nice and everything's good. If you want to hear that news, then I guess you'll hear that from some churches. But this particular topic is called repentance, and it involves the necessity of coming to terms with your sins and guilt and repenting of them and not gaining entrance into heaven by being a nice guy, which seems to be the criterion set forth today. But I'm going to now give you the parameters of this show, how it works. Number one, it's literary. I love great books. I love books. I love the great writers such as Tolstoy, Dostoevsky, Gogol, Turgenev. I read them all. I love them all. I particularly love John Milton, my favorite English poet, and his great poem, Paradise Lost, grabs me continually every day of the week. I also like St. Augustine, Confessions, John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. These are some of the many, many great authors. And T.S. Eliot, The Idea of a Christian Society. These are the great authors that I worship and love and I wish to read and I want others to read. Next, I am a Christian and I believe in Christian faith. And the parameters of my faith are found in from Genesis to Revelation and Holy Scripture, which I believe to be true and valid in every way. And I also believe in the creeds of the Church, the Athanasian Apostles and Nicene Creed. They guide me in my thinking. And I am a Christian, and I read Christian books such as St. Augustine, the Epistles of Paul. These are just some of them. Milton, of course, John Milton's Paradise Lost. These are the books that I value and treasure. Third, I am a conservative person. I oppose abortion and gay marriage. That doesn't mean I have discrimination or hatred toward any woman who has an abortion. She has that right, that legal right, and I respect her. I know that Jesus died for her and loves her, as he died for all people and loves all people beyond measure. That would be true of my gay friends. Oh, also, I know God wants them to be with him in heaven. As he says in Timothy, God wills that all men and women be saved, including Hindus, other faiths, and Islam, and of course our gay friends and who have entered into marriage on that basis, and I respect them. I love them. I know that Jesus died for them and wants them with him in heaven. Now I'm going to talk a little about my background. That's the parameters of this show. My background is it's a politically incorrect show. We don't go for political correctness. We oppose big lie, media falsehood, media lies. We oppose all that because we don't think it's true. We're out to get the facts and the truth through honest discernment and intellectual honesty. That's all. That's what this show is about, intellectual honesty and getting at the facts and the truth as much as possible through critical thinking. Next, I'm a Christian, and this is a Christian show, but I value all people and their religious, whatever their religion. I welcome them. I love them. I know that Jesus died for them all, whether Hindu, whether Islam. Whoever they are, Jesus died for them and loves them beyond measure. And I do, too. I include my gay friends. who I definitely know that Jesus wants them to be with him in heaven, and they may well be, and I may not be. I wouldn't know where the judgment will be, but I do think that our Hindu friends and Buddhist friends and Islamic friends and Shinto friends, they're all people who Jesus loves and died for and wills to be saved. As you said in 2 Timothy, he wants all men and women to be saved and to be with him in the joy of heaven. Next, this show has political parameters. I'm basically conservative, but I do, in the sense of I oppose abortion and gay marriage, but that doesn't mean I have any hatred toward anybody. I love them dearly because I know Jesus died for them and loves them very greatly, immeasurably, in fact. I draw the line, however, in my conservative position. I draw the line that I am concerned and love, and I have great concern for poverty and the poor. They are loved by Christ, particularly. He tells us in the Beatitudes that the poor are blessed. He makes that statement. It was said, criticized of him, who is this man that eats with publicans and sinners? He chose as his disciples tradesmen, poor people, not educated, not wealthy, none of those things. So poverty is very great. The only thing is, I say, is Jesus said to the young man who wanted eternal life to give away your goods, that was a barrier. So wealth can be a barrier to faith in Christ. Can be a barrier, but it need not be. I run a radio program, three radio shows, actually, a blog talk radio show and two other radio shows. They have a Christian orientation. Not all of them. Some of them do. But I welcome all faiths and all people and all sorts of opinions and ideas. I welcome them all. In fact, on my podcast show, which I'm not personally doing, over 4,300 people have visited that show from 80 countries, and many, many people from many countries, Iran, Iraq, Malaysia, United Kingdom, Germany, in fact, have visited my blog talk show. Apparently, the Christian faith, as expressed in these shows, are not barriers to people of other countries and faiths wanting to hear about it. One of my closest friends is an Iranian philosophy student, a Muslim, who in fact enjoyed my Christian books very greatly. I am a writer. I've written 10 books, two legal books, Select Legal Topics, Volumes 1 and 2, and Christian books, Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, a book on the parables, and most recently a book on interpretation of 150 Psalms. I particularly treasure and love the parables. They represent the mind and thinking of Jesus. They are irreplaceable in thinking and in thought. If you read the parables, you will be raised up and uplifted. You will be developed as a person. You will come to know truth and discernment on some level. At least that's what the parables are, the words and mind of Jesus. Therefore, they are well worth paying attention to. I've written a book on all 150 Psalms. This book also has sold quite well, and as has most of my books. And the book on Psalms, I treasure the Psalms because of their literary greatness. They are great pieces of literature. They are lyric poetry. I read them in seminary, in Princeton Seminary, and I gained an insight into their great literary beauty that is unbelievable. They are great pieces of lyric poetry, and they're well worth reading on that basis. But on the other hand, they also represent great thinking, in 100 ways, and they stir the mind and hearts, not only the mind but the heart of people. The thinking in the Psalms is very great, and I enjoy them. I read them. I've read them since I was in Sunday school as 12 years old, and I still read them. And I challenge you, I've said this before, ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to read a translation, you'd better read the Psalms. You won't get tired of them. You'll get tired of other books in translation, whether Dostoevsky or Tolstoy. But you will not tire of the Psalms in English translation because of their essential literary and intellectual greatness. Next, I want to talk about more about my books. I'm writing 4 blog books in my blog, Philosophical and Theological and Blogs on Current Events. And these books will be coming out soon, 4 blog books. I'm writing a book on the book of Job soon. Job is a wonderful book. He was an Edomite, and he was not Jewish, but he made it into the Hebrew Bible. It's a great book. It's a wonderful book, and it's a fantastic book. I recommend you reading it, despite, and by the way, one time person said to me, how can you read the Bible? It's 3,000 years old. The age of a work has no relationship to its significant greatness. The Bible is great on its own, and the book of Job is great on its own, very much. Anyway, I want to say more. I've written other books. I've written a chapter on paternity in New York family law and practice. I've written a book on evidence and res gestae in Bender's Consolidated Evidence. I've written a chapter in New York jurisprudence on New York, on criminal law in New York, demands and notices. I've written 3 law review articles, one on the Syracuse Law Review on criminal procedure, and also on 2 Academicus articles from Academicus, which is an Albanian scientific journal. I've written articles on the American educational system, which I think has failed, and on sexual orientation discrimination, which I abhor and dislike. I oppose any kind of discrimination. Whether I agree with the person or not is not the issue. It's not a matter of agreement. It's a matter of I do not endorse any hate or hatred toward any group of people. Everybody deserves love. Everybody deserves a place in the world. And I want to have every person to have that place. So that's about all I have to say today. I've written a chapter on paternity and New York family law and practice, and I am preparing other books. And I think books are the doorway to knowledge. Without books, there will be no knowledge. We will be in darkness. We will be in a kingdom of darkness without books. Without books and reading, we are going down, down, down. And books and reading, and the great books I'm referring to, raise our population up. They raise us up immeasurably. I want a society where people are raised and know more and think more. I don't want a society of superficial values of your clothes, how you look, and whether you have a nice car. I dislike those values and disagree with them. I'm now going to talk about something that is really quite controversial. People don't talk about it much, but it's a topic that's very important in the church. And the name of this essay tonight that I'm speaking about is called Repentance. Repentance as a concept in the Christian belief system posits and means an admission of wrongdoing on the part of the person repenting and general remorse in that admission. It means an admission of some sort. It means and posits an admission of wrongdoing on the part of the person, coming to terms with their sin, if you will, and general remorse in coming to terms with their sin. People are told by the church on a pretty consistent basis to repent of their sins. Of course, many people don't think they have any sins. And so to repent really is another way of looking at it, that there are people do have sins. But people are told by the church to repent of their sins. And I have to say, that repentance is not excusing or putting aside your sins, but an internal admission of remorse. It is an admission in your mind and heart and soul that you have sinned and that you are making an admission of that sin. Now, I think the repentance, that since Western societies were Christian in their original structure, was a very significant factor in the world, at least in the Christian world. For example, after the Holocaust, the German government did pay reparations to Jewish families. That was an act of admission and repentance an act of coming to terms with the sins of the German people. And I'm not making a critical statement of any societies, but the Japanese government and citizens have not come to terms or made amends for the awful atrocities they committed during World War II. Japanese have never apologized for the brutal treatment of Chinese and Koreans during the Second World War, whether it was the issue of Korean comfort women or the rape of Nanking in China. So it's rather interesting, I say. I don't know whether individually Japanese people may have repented. They may. And I can't make a judgment on the Japanese government or the Japanese people. But I take note that they have not come to terms with their sins in the Second World War, which were really quite bad. They never apologized for their brutal treatment of the Chinese and Koreans during the Second World War. And the issues of the Korean comfort women or the rape of Nanking has never really come to their minds, and they have made no public declaration concerning those evil acts. So what are we going to say? The West, I think, on some level, as I told you of the German government paying reparations to the Jewish people, the West to some extent repents of its sins. The abolitionist movement to abolish slavery was brought by the churches, in the congregational churches in New England. On the other hand, the Turkish government has refused to take responsibility for the Armenian genocide. They are an example of a non-Christian country not coming to terms with the Armenian genocide. I just can't say why. Maybe on an individual basis they have. Maybe they have. In fact, I can't make a judgment on people. I only say that the West seems to repent of its sin because of its Christian underlay. And let me note that after the Salem witch trials, the judges who were responsible for these trials publicly repented. They did repent. Those Salem witch trials judges who were responsible for the death of those people, they publicly repented. Again, an example of Christians repenting and non-Christians apparently not doing so. Although I can't say, maybe they have repented. I can't say too much. I say nothing against other religions. I know that Jesus loves them and died for them. Therefore, I have no problem with other religious systems. But I have to note that the English slave trade was ended by the Christian William Wilberforce. Again, an example of repentance. William Wilberforce repented of the English slave trade and ended it. And it was the New England churches that led the abolitionist movement for some years. Again, we have a situation of repentance from the churches that led the abolitionist movement for some years. In this sense, Western societies repent, and America repents. Western societies grow. When people repent, they are growing. They are evolving. And Western societies do grow and evolve in repentance and make changes. Maybe they don't make them soon enough. Maybe they don't need to make enough changes because of their sins. But to some extent, they seem to repent and make modifications of evil actions. I'm not criticizing other societies and systems, and I don't know enough to comment on them and how they work. But I know this much. I gave you examples of the abolitionist movement, of the Salem witch trials, of the West repenting of its sins. I don't know whether other societies, maybe the issue is whether Armenian, the Turkish government, or the rape of Nanking, or Chinese and Korean comfort women. Yet America repents as a Christian. Christian societies seem to make an effort to modify. They seem to come to terms with their sins. I don't know whether other societies even have the concept of sin or moral wrongdoing. Therefore, they have no admission to make, because they don't think there is any sin. As I said, the Japanese never repented of their brutal treatment of the Chinese and Koreans during the Second World War, and the issue of Korean comfort women or the rape of Nanking was never come to terms with by the Japanese. And the Turkish government, again, has not come to terms with the Armenian genocide, but slavery by William Wilberforce, English slave trade was ended by a Christian. And the Armenian and the Turkish government refused to take responsibility for the Armenian genocide, but the Salem witch trials of judges responsible for the deaths of those women publicly repented. And William Wilberforce, the New England churches, led the abolitionist movement. For some reason, there is, to some extent, where Christianity is present, there is repentance. There is coming to terms with your sins. I'm not criticizing other societies' existence. They may be wonderful people. They may have repented, and I don't know about it. But I know this much. The West seems to come to terms with its sin by repentance. And the issue, possibly, is that do these non-Christian societies even have the concept of sin and moral wrongdoing and have occasion to make a public admission of that wrongdoing? I'd like to add one more comment here. Very significant that under the Christian belief system, Jesus will accept a last minute or even last second act of repentance before death. This seems unfair for the righteous and good person who has led a blameless life. He gets no more reward than the fully wicked person who at the last second of death repents. But under Christianity, Christ will accept a last minute or last second act of repentance before death. And this seems unfair for the righteous and good person who has led a blameless life. He gets no more reward than the fully wicked person who at the last second of death repents. I can only say that the reason for the last second accepting last second repentance of an evil and wicked person at the love of Christ or every human being is very profound. And the Christ's love is so great for every person who has ever lived or will live that he will accept that person at the last second of his life. Christ will afford the one who repents the same eternal life and joy that he affords to the person who has lived a completely good life. So this is a very difficult situation to really grasp. The evil person whose life has been a life of evil, he is accepted at the last second of death in repentance, as much as the good person who has led a blameless and righteous life. I can only say that the reason for this is the love of Christ for every human being is that deep and profound. His love is so great that for every human being who has ever lived or will live, that he will accept that person at the last millisecond of his life if he repents and afford him the eternal life and joy of heaven. How are we going to explain this is difficult to understand, but I can only say this, that the value Christ and God set on every human being is so great that he will take that person in at the last second. Or better put, Christ wants all men and women to be with him and have a relationship with him and will deny no one that chance, even at the last second. That's the reason, I think it's the reason, the value that Christ and God places on every human being, good or evil, bad or wicked, is so great, if they repent, is so great that he will accept that person at the last second. In short, Jesus wants all human beings to be with him and have a relationship with him and will deny no one that chance. We do not know and cannot know whether Hitler or Stalin repented at the last second. If they did, and this repentance were genuine, then along with St. Francis and the disciples, they are with Christ. So this is the issue that possibly Stalin or Pol Pot or Hitler, possibly they repented at the last minute. And if that repentance were genuine, they are with Christ in heaven along with St. Francis and the disciples. I hope I've explained this about repentance and given some understanding of it, and I hope you'll read my chapter on repentance in my book, Essays on Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, on pages 28 and 29 of that book. I think you'll find it interesting, and I have to say, looking at myself, I have much to repent of because I have many sins that I'm aware of. And everyone, if they take an acute look at themselves, will see their sins and the necessity for repentance. God does not let people walk in to heaven, all evil, all wicked. He will take them in if they repent. That is the issue. Repentance is a necessity. He will take people in, but he won't just take anybody on a wholesale basis. They must repent and give up their wickedness and come to terms with their sins. If they do that, then they can get in. All right. I hope I make it in. I don't particularly want to be condemned in hell. I may deserve that for my indifference and lack of love for people. Nevertheless, I do hope that, having repented, that I will be accepted by Christ in heaven. Thank you very much.